God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the second day of September 2007, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music this morning from Brenda Waterloo, and then the message from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, preaching from the first book of Peter, loving one another. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. We hope you're blessed by today's message, and thank you for listening.
His only reason was me. Stand as we give honor to God's word. One verse this morning, primarily verse 22, I want to look at, say verse 23 on down to verse 25, and really for another week or so. But in verse 22, the Bible says this: seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for this direct command given to Peter here, Lord. I believe it was no accident the Holy Spirit had him put this in. But Lord, this one verse, what a powerful verse, reminds us, Lord, of the duty and importance of us of loving one another, especially those of the household of faith. So Lord, I pray today, Lord, that we would take that to heart, that Lord, we learn better ways to show love one for another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Said in the book of John, of course, that greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. Of course, Jesus did that for us. No debate, that was the greatest act of love there could be. It is acts of love like that that really show forth what we call agape love. When you begin looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 here, and you look at the different forms of love that are out there and what he's trying to display, we see that this truly is an agape type of love, dedication love. I was reminded yesterday, I watched a little bit of the Virginia Tech football game, and of course, they highlighted, reminded us of that terrible massacre that took place earlier this year where 32 people lost their lives and the impact there. And you know, probably the story that just rings out to me in that situation there was one of the professors, and I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Professor Lebrescu, if I'm not mistaken, a 76-year-old man. He had survived the Holocaust. And I'm sure nothing on his mind thought that day after making it to the Holocaust, where millions of people died. He shows up that day for work to teach his class, and he ends up having to save the students in his class. And he stood in front of the door, barring the door with his body. And of course, the gunman shot him and killed him. But one student, 20-year-old, as they were jumping out the window, as the professor was giving his life for them, just looked back, and here he saw this older man giving his life for them. And really, what greater act could take place than something like that? I consider him one of the great heroes of that situation right there, that he'd be so selfless to do something because he loved his students. And I thought about that, and I wondered along that line of our treatment and love that we have one for another. It is so essential that we learn to love one another. As you look at this verse, and Peter says as he's preaching, he says, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. And he talks there about our own salvation. He says, hey, seeing. In other words, as one author said it, because you and I are saved, because we're born in verse 23 with an incorruptible seed, not just an earthly corruptible seed, you know, through mom and dad, but an incorruptible seed through the Spirit of God. And by the way, can I remind you, this verse reminds us, you and I get saved because of the pulling of the Holy Spirit of God. You're saved and I'm saved because, yes, we accepted a salvation. Yes, we said, I believe. Yes, we say, I repent. But, folks, you did that because the Holy Spirit of God began to prick at your heart one day. I was 11. I remember it as clear as today. And all of a sudden, I mean, my insides are just saying, hey, I need to accept God. And as He pricked and as He pulled, I responded, I got saved. Amen. Right. Folks, if you're here today, and I know we have people here today that don't know Jesus Christ, listen, you need to listen. If the Holy Spirit pulls at your heart, if the Holy Spirit just begins to prick inside and say, listen, this is the truth. What He says is the truth. Jesus did die for you. He is the greatest love that you could ever receive is Jesus Christ. He is the only way to heaven. Listen, respond to that today. Come and accept Jesus Christ and understand the truth of salvation. Folks, it's the beginning of the rest of your life, the day that you get saved. Until that point, we don't really know what life is until we get saved, because you don't have the spiritual side. But when you obey that truth and you accept that truth and through the Spirit you get saved, the apostle says, now I want you to go on to something more. I want you to go on to unfeigned love. He says, I want you to find genuine love for the brethren. Whew! Man, that's a difficult thing. I mean, it's bad enough loving someone you don't know, but sometimes it can be even worse loving someone you do know. I mean, stop and think about that. Man, you don't know somebody. The Bible says love everybody. You know, the two great commandments, love God with all your heart, then love thy neighbor. And so I see my neighbor, don't know my neighbor really well. Neighbor's done nothing wrong to me. I think I'll show them some love. But boy, I tell you what, you get a family member with the personality that some of you have, and it becomes very difficult. I mean, we got rude people at Central Baptist Church. You aware of that? No, I can point them out to you. We got mean-spirited people. We got happy people. Some of them way too happy people. I mean, we got it all. I mean, we got all the personality. We got strict. We got lenient. We got this. We got people from the south, people from the north, east, west. We got weirdos, I'm telling you right now. We heard one Dr. Gibbs says, every church has strange people. And I said, amen, preacher, amen. I'm serious. There's not been a church I've been to. Somebody's strange in the church. Hey, your family's the same way. All of us can list a family member right now. We're going, they're strange. You know, don't say their names right now, okay? We're in a preaching service. But, you know, we're called, and seriously, I guess for myself, sometimes it's easier for me to love somebody I don't know. Sometimes it's easier for me to show the love of Christ to someone who's done nothing to me, nothing against me. There's been no slight of any kind, and I just kind of reach out to them and say, hey, I love you, man. But boy, it's a lot harder when you have the brethren. Those people inside of your family. Yet Peter here is saying this, we need to love our brethren. Now, I'll tell you why this is so important before we get into some of the main points that I want to discuss today. Here at Central Baptist Church, we are strong separatists. A matter of fact, we believe in separation, and we believe that it's biblical, it's appropriate that I'm to separate myself in certain situations. In that, though, we don't want to be extremists. Are you with me? Separation is a biblical principle that we will never go away from. Now, it's hard for people to understand. Matter of fact, I preached a little bit, I think mentioned it Wednesday night, and had a couple walking out that were not from this area, just kind of visiting, and they misunderstood the message and took it wrong because they were kind of going to the other extreme of love. But I want to explain myself here. We fully believe in separation here at Central Baptist Church. But with that separation, in order to keep a good balance, you need something else in your life. It's called love. You need the love of God. If you're just separate, if you just have all these standards and rules in your life, and you're just no, 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 and you don't have the love of God, let me help you. You're going to be an extremist that is not going to fulfill the Word of God. Separation is basically this. Jesus, I think, displayed it really good. Jesus was there, and man, he loved everyone. He showed love to everyone. He ate with publicans and sinners. He healed the sick. But you know who he spent his time with? 12 disciples. His intimate time, which he spoke about Wednesday night, was Peter, James, and John. In other words, he loved everyone, showed kindness to everyone, helped everyone, did whatever he could for everyone. But those that were the closest to him were those who had the same spirit or likeness as him. So here at Central Baptist Church, when you hear me mention separation, I am not saying this. Separation does not mean not to care for the lost. It does not mean being friendly to the lost. It does not mean taking the lost out to lunch and spending time with them and trying to share with them the love of God. It does not mean ignoring, shunning, snubbing in any way those people who need God. That is not what the Bible teaches. On contrary, the Bible teaches that we are to love one another and to show that love. All separation is this. My best of friends need to be those people that have the same mindset that I have. But even if they're not my best of friends, I'm to love everybody and show that type of love. So this morning, I think it's very imperative that we take a look at what it means to love one another, lest we get caught up in some extreme. And by the way, there's the other extreme of just love everybody. You know, and we believe in love everybody, but they go to the extreme of, I'll just be close friends with an atheist. He hates God, but he's my best buddy. I tell you what, that'll destroy your life. Right. Both are extremes that we need to avoid. And I like the way that God brings balance to everything when you get into his word. And he shows you how to put things together. So let's take a look at this love that the Bible talks about. To do this, I'd like to read some verses to you. You may not be able to catch up with me, so if you'll want to just kind of listen real close. Some people say I talk fast. I don't believe them, but hey, we'll do it anyways. John 13:34, if you want to write them down, you can look them up later. The Bible says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Chapter 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. 15:17, these things I command unto you, that ye love one another. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another, he hath fulfilled the law. How about 1 Thessalonians 4:9? But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Peter, we just read, 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 23 of 1 John 3, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Famous verse, for love is of God. And by the way, no man loveth unless you have the love of God. Can I just help you out right now? If you have love, real agape love, you have it for one reason, because you have Jesus Christ. By the way, before you had Jesus Christ, you don't understand agape love. You don't understand what real love is until you got God. Why? Because God is love. You may be sitting here today and you don't know Jesus. Say, preacher, I have love. You don't have perfect love. You don't have the best love. You don't even understand the greatest love there is, because you don't even possess that love. He goes on to say in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. However, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Let's talk for just a little bit this morning about loving one another. First of all, I want to get to the basics, and that is, in case you weren't following the reading, I'll just kind of clarify it for you. It's a command. Okay, in case you're sitting saying, well, preacher, I don't think you understand. I can't love brother so-and-so, and I can't love Mrs. so-and-so, and I mean, her personality just grates on me. Could it be that's why God came down and say, it's a commandment? Okay, it's not a suggestion. God's not like, as you feel, love one another. God says, no, I'm commanding you. It's part of your Christian duty. Your Christian, are you ready? You ought to be known as a person of love. You ought to be known as somebody that no matter who you're around or who you're with, that you just show the love of God just as, wait a minute, just as God loves you. Now, I know this may be shocking to you. You know, sometimes it's hard to love someone else. Have you ever thought you're hard to love? Yeah. Don't like to think that way, do we? Yeah. Could you just imagine that maybe as hard as it is to love that person two rows away, that maybe they're thinking the same thing about you? That's hard for me to understand. See, I think I'm lovable. I don't understand why no one would love me. I'm a lovable guy. You know, the problem is you think the same way. We all think, hey, we're lovable, great people. You know, they have to like me. But I'm telling you, I'm serious. It's not so. But my God tells me we are to love. It's a command. One author put it this way, the word agape love. The characteristic word, it is the characteristic word of Christianity. James Packer said it this way. Literally, it wasn't on the scene until Christianity showed up. The understanding of agape love. See, we know a lot about love, we think. And there's different forms of love. If you remember those Greek words, and many preachers have preached on it, there's eros love, and that's known as lustful love. And probably the majority of love that most people experience really is lustful love. It really is. They see somebody and have that, you know, little feeling inside, you know, and really don't know anything about them, but they're attracted to that individual. And so they love them in a lustful way. And it may not just be a physical lustful way. It could be, I love them because of what they do for me. Okay? You may have a love for somebody just because someone's nice to you and takes care of you in some particular way. And so you have a love, but really it's lust, because you only love them in that way because they do something for you. The minute they stop doing something for you, you don't care for them anymore. That's called eros love. And you know it's eros love when it's not this decision that says, hey, I'm going to love them no matter what. They're storge love. It's family love. Ever wonder how brothers and sisters can like each other? I mean, it's just a grain, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember growing up and really, my brothers and sisters, we were normal brothers and sisters. We'd pick on each other and fight with each other and all that kind of stuff. But wasn't it weird? You wouldn't let anybody else do that? I mean, man, I'd go up to my sister, slap her in the back of the head. That was okay. But God forbid someone else do that, you know? You say, well, it's just a family connection, you know? And there's phileo love. That's probably the second one that we know the most about. That's friendship love and certain likes and so forth. But I'm telling you something. Agape love is totally different. It transcends all of those things. You can have all the other types of love that are in the Greek language, but you cannot have agape love, an unconditional love for someone, unless you possess Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know one of the tests of your salvation in 1 John is the fact that if you can't love, are you ready? If you can't love other people, the Bible says the Spirit of God dwells not in you. Are you aware of this? You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying literally a test or evidence of salvation is this. Before I was saved, I had trouble loving other people. Definitely didn't like Christians. And by the way, if you can't stand church and Christianity, you better check up on your salvation. Did you hear me? I've heard people say, well, preacher, this person claims to be saved, but when I go to talk to them about church or something, they turn me off. They cut me off. I'll tell you why they do that. They don't know God. Man, I don't get turned off talking about church and talking about believers, talking about Christian things. Man, that's my life. It's a wonderful thing. And it ought to be your life. And if it's not your life, don't just tell me, well, preacher, I said a prayer when I was 10, and I remember praying, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I can't stand church. Whoa! My Bible says Christ died for the church. He loves the church. If you're a real believer, I'm going to help you with this. You'll love the church. You'll love the church. And you'll love the people of God. Why? How can you say you love God and you don't love His children? I've told you before, how can you say, preacher, I love you. Man, I just think you're great, but I can't stand your kids. That may be true, but you probably shouldn't tell me that, okay? I mean, honestly, that'd be kind of dumb. You know, oh yeah, we're best buds. Yeah, all right, you and I, man. Or how would you like to say, man, preacher, I love you, but can't stand your wife? For most of you, it's the reverse. I know I'm pastor because of her. I understand that. You all love her, and I get to come along with the picture. I understand how this works. You know, I get the picture. I mean, but seriously, how can you say you love me as pastor, but somebody close to my family you can't stand? It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. Well, how can you look at God and say, oh, God, I love you so much, but I hate everybody who trusts in you. Can't stand believers. That would not be the right spirit. Listen, it is a command of God, an imperative command that this is it. You have to learn how to love other people unconditionally because Jesus Christ loved us. Number two, so important as well, it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You know, as I look at the Word of God, and it says here in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, genuine love of the brethren, that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. I told you James Packer mentioned that love seems to be a virtually Christian invention. And because it is, as you take a look at that, and you understand that it's not a natural thing that I just naturally love people unconditionally, but I have the power to do it now because I possess Jesus Christ. Listen, it is imperative that you take that supernatural power, by the way, and you use it, which means this. There is nobody, if you're a believer, there is nobody that you can't forgive and love because you have the power of Christ to do it. I don't know what's going on in your life, and maybe someone's offended you in some way, and you're saying, preacher, there's no way I could ever get through this or over this. You don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't. I have no idea what they've done to you. But I can tell you something, if you possess God and you're really saved, you can overcome it and learn to love them. I don't fully understand that, except the Bible says it, and I've seen it take place. I've seen people in our church go through horrible situations. Horrible situations. I think of Miss Ann Helton. I know Miss Ann, I know wouldn't mind me sharing this, but I know Miss Ann's a mom, brutally murdered, still going through the court case. And one of the things I appreciate about Miss Ann is several times she's called and they found out the person who did it. And as hard as it is, Miss Ann says, you know, preacher, my desire is to go to that young lady and make sure she knows Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. Ooh. Do you know how hard that is? Folks, that's not natural. That's supernatural. Garrett's going through the same thing. Heard Miss Sue say the same thing. Man, I just want to make sure that at some point they learn about God. Oh, they deserve just judgment. There's no debate about that. I'm not asking them to get off, but I'm asking them to know about God. Well, how do you do that? You know what the natural thing is? You hurt me? Man, I hope you burn in hell forever. Now, that's natural. Hey, isn't it? Come on. Don't look at me funny. You all think the same way I do. Man, that's the way I think. I think you're going to hurt me, buddy. I think you get the worst punishment ever out there. Then how in the world when you, and I'm sure those feelings come at front, but how in the world do you overcome that and suddenly there's this peace and there's this love inside of you saying, hey, they just need God. Whoa. I'll tell you how that comes. It's supernatural. It comes from God. Wow. I'm telling you, folks, if you possess God, what I'm saying is this. There's nobody, there's no situation bothering you right now you cannot overcome if you just give it over to God. If you just submit to Him and say, God, I'm going to learn to love them. Why? Why? Because He loved you the same way. Can I remind you that this holy God you accepted is just that holy and perfect? And in His perfection, there's not one of us that deserve to stand before Him in heaven one day. And every time He looks down at John Waterloo, no matter what good things I think I've done, the Bible says they're as filthy rags. They're as the dirtiest thing you can imagine. Because that's what they are to me. Wow. And yet God came down, and when I asked for that forgiveness, He said, okay, and He forgave me, and He let it go. And He put His Spirit inside me and made me His believer. I'm like, yeah. Folks, I don't deserve that. That's a supernatural thing. Folks, we have the supernatural power to forgive people and to make it work. Thirdly, I wrote down this about love. 1 John 4:11 says this. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You know, probably one of the greatest things about that is by loving other people, we are following Christ's example. When I think about how we make an impact here at Central Baptist Church, and how we show people that we're believers. You may say, well, preacher, I prove to people that I'm a believer because I go to church. Well, let me help you. There's a lot of people that go to church that are not saved, okay? You don't really prove anything except you're religious. Okay? They're just going to call you a religious fanatic. That's all you prove. Well, I bring the right Bible. You really still don't prove anything. Let me help you with that, okay? You know? Well, I give some money. There's a lot of lost people that give money to churches. I mean, come on. I can list cults right now that are just flourishing in money, you know, and they're not saved and going to heaven. That has nothing to do with it. Well, how in the world can you go to work? Can you at your home? Can you be like Jesus Christ? Well, simple. Love. Love. That's going to blow your mind. Your standards don't prove your Christianity. None of that does. Your haircut, the clothes you wear, none of that proves your Christianity. The thing that stamps to know that you have the Spirit of God is this. You have a supernatural love just like Jesus Christ. Believers, let me help you. The thing that we need in our homes today, the things that we need out there in the workplace and around our friends and families, we need the love of God. You and I have to take Jesus with us. And like He loved us and died for us, we need to act the exact same way. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know it as the love chapter. The love chapter. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to remind you of some verses because sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, and we just kind of ignore some important facets of this. Jump down to verse 14. The author, if you remember, is giving the same argument I'm trying to give. Actually, in verse 3, we'll pick up part of it so you see some of it. He says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profit me nothing." Now, look at that. It is worthless. I can sell everything I have. And I could give it to Manna Feeding Center. I could give it to the poor. I could give it to the Red Cross or whatever. And I could say, look at me. I've sold everything. I'm living in poverty. Look at me. God says, if you don't love those people, it's worthless. I could be burned at the stake. I could give my... But if I did it in anger and hate and said, yeah, you're all going to burn with me one day. God says, well, that was useless. But He says this, love. Love has some distinct things about it. He says, charity suffereth long. Whew. Love waits a long time and is kind. That's a new word. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself really inappropriately. By the way, young people, if you want to know if you're in love, you might want to follow these things. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Isn't it funny when... I've always wondered how parents who love their kids can think their kids do no wrong. And then I read this. I'm like, oh, that's how. Charity, it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know the neat thing about love is, and why we need love? We don't rejoice when someone falls into sin. We don't have an I told you so. We don't get it. There's never a time at Central Baptist Church when a member drops out of church, gets involved in sin, that the pastors go, I knew it. It serves them right. You should. You know what? It ought to break your heart. You don't rejoice in the downfall of somebody. It breaks your heart at the downfall of somebody. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. You want to know if you have real love? Well, preacher, brother so-and-so in the church has irritated me. I don't even say hi to him because he irritates me. Love suffers long. Love is kind. I'm sure you're going up to him and saying hi and being kind, aren't you? Well, sure you are, because that's love. Beareth all things. I'm sure you're putting up with him. Why? It's called love. Believeth all. I sure you believe that he has a chance to change, because God changed you. Hopeth. I sure you're not giving up on that individual. Surely you're not, because that's real love. You know what we need at Central Baptist Church? Are you ready? Man, God's given us a great spirit, and God's given us the Word of God. We need to make sure that we keep growing and cultivating this thing called love. And as the church grows, and as different people come into our church, no matter who they are, by the way, I'll tell you right now, at Central Baptist Church, we don't care your race, we don't care what job you have, how much money you do or don't have, we care about one thing. Do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? That is a universal thing here at Central Baptist Church. We got all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different personalities, as we said, and I'm saying none of that matters to us. You don't get elevated at Central Baptist Church and get a position at Central Baptist Church because of who you are. You get that and serve at Central Baptist Church. Not because you deserve it in any particular way. But it's open for anybody that will just grow in their faith and learn to love God. Love. You know what? And there's not one of you sitting here that doesn't need love. There's not one person here that doesn't need love. No man really is an island to himself. We all need to feel loved, and we all need to be loved. And folks, I'm thinking the place you ought to get that is when people walk through those doors, they ought to notice something about us. We are a people of love. That brings me to a final point that you see in Scripture that is so important. Turn with me to the book of John real quick. I like to end with this one because it's so important. John 13:35. When you see the verse, you'll recognize it pretty quick. John 13:35. Besides an example, I want to remind us here at Central Baptist Church, and as we're growing and going through this transition period, which we're excited about, and we're going to get into our new building next year, and man, I'm excited about that. And you say, when's the date? Well, God knows the date, and when we get there, we'll tell you. You know, but when we get in there, you know what there's going to be a tendency to do? Well, praise God, man. All the books I read say, if you build it, they will come. You know, and let me tell you, that's probably true. You're probably going to get a lot of people just maybe curious or interested and pop in for a service or two. And that may happen, I guess. I mean, I that's what people say. And I believe to an extent that's going to happen. But guess what? You think that they're going to come in and sit in this brand new, beautiful building. There's no dirt on the carpet yet. Give it a week. The kids will be through there. You know, praise God. We love them, man. You know, there's no marks on the wall. You know, there's nothing that's messed up. You know, nothing that's adding the character to the building yet. You know, we're going to walk in and you think, do you really think that people are going to come and stay because of that? Oh, they may start out that way, but I'm sorry, I may go in and say, wow, ooh, cool, what's next? But I tell you, if they walk in and they don't feel the love of God, guess what? Bye-bye. I know, I'm not saying. Why would you stay? If I was a guest, why would you stay if there's no love? Have you ever been to a place where it was like that? Come on, you ever visited a place, another church, there was no love? Man, they had the right word, man, the guy was preaching good. You're the man, great sermon, good preaching, nice people. But you did not feel the love of God there. You know what's exciting? It's exciting when you do feel the genuineness. One thing that I like about Christianity is, on the flip side of that, you ever notice that you can pick out a Christian almost anywhere, even though you don't know him? I'm serious. I've been at meetings. I've been in different places, and there's just a spirit about that person. We start talking for a minute, and it's weird. It's like we're brothers. It's like we're brothers and sisters. Well, how'd that happen? Because we have the same spirit. Can I tell you one of the greatest testimonies that Central Baptist Church has? Are you ready? John 13:35. By this. Well, what's this? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I'll tell you right now, folks, most people don't care what our doctrine is. Now, we do, okay? But they don't. Most people aren't going to care about our building. Oh, they will the first week or month. That'll be about it. Most people don't care a lot about who we are. What people care about is how we treat one another. My Bible still tells me by this statement right here, shall all men know, shall everybody know that we're real disciples of Jesus Christ, not by anything else we do, not by anything else we say, but they will walk into our homes, they will walk into our facilities, and they will say this, do they love each other? It's the same way we judge families, is it not? If I walk into the Coberleys and they're sitting on different sides of the room, and Miss Coberly is staring at Brother Coberly, and she comes over to me and says, Pastor, would you like something to drink? And I say, I love a Diet Pepsi. And she walks right by her husband and just gives him a glare. I'm going to go, I feel uncomfortable. I don't have to walk in and Miss Coberly doesn't have to say, hey, we're fighting, preacher. What do you think? I'm a pretty sharp guy. I'm picking up on that. My favorite is sometimes we'll knock doors and you'll knock on the door and you're, wah, 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 wah. They come to the door, hello. My first thought is, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And then she'll go, come in. And I go, you first, Scott. Get your back, bud. You're right, that's scary. But you know, I mean, you go into homes, you can tell. They don't have to say, I mean, there's just a spirit, a feeling about it. What? They got some marital problems. And they got some family problems. You just know. And you walk out, and really if somebody asks you, if they say, what do you think about the Coberleys? Oh, they're people. How are they getting along? I don't think they're getting along at all. Now wait, they never said a word to me. But I'm sharing a testimony. By the way, they are. If you're listening to this tape on the internet, they're okay. In case your mom and dad listen, I'm sorry. But I'm gonna know that. Now wait, folks. You don't think that if you're pretty upset with somebody at Central Baptist Church, you don't think you give an air about that? Oh, come on. We know. We know who you like and who you don't like. Because you're doing the hi. I mean, you give it. So you're back there talking about someone in the church. Oh, Miss Susan, she just irritates the snot out of me. Oh, can you believe the way she does those kids? Oh, they're so... You got a visitor standing right behind you. Now, wait a minute. If you can't love your brother and sister who's in the church, who's been there, when you turn to them and say, oh, we love everybody, come join us. Well, listen, it doesn't take rocket brain surgeons to say, hey, guess what? That's not true. I'm telling you, folks, the greatest testimony Central Baptist Church will have. Are you ready? How do you treat one another in this house and in Ponca City? We know each other's faults. If you've been around here long enough, you know my faults. I don't have to list them. You know them. Okay? Been here long enough, I know your faults. Isn't that the neat thing about love? We still love each other. There's not a person here we couldn't line up and say, he's got a problem. She's got a problem. She procrastinates. Okay? He is disorganized. He's a control freak. She's weird. There's not a person here we could... Seriously. But you know, we could also list a whole bunch of good things, could we not? Can I just help you real quick before we close this down? Can I just challenge you? Why don't we find the good? Why don't we find the positive things in one another as our brethren and learn to highlight that? And why don't we just learn to love one another and pray for one another? Because you know what? I don't know about you, but I'd prefer that to be done to me. And so if you do that to me, I think maybe I could do that for you. And then maybe as people walk in here, before they ever hear our doctrine, before they ever see our Bible, before they ever know anything about the church, there ought to be a spirit of love that permeates. And if they'd never find that out, they ought to walk out saying, that's a weird place, all lovey-dovey. Seriously. Now, let's not go to extreme. Seriously, we're not going to go extreme, okay? And line up, and everybody comes in, we're just going to hug everybody. Okay? Because I'm going to start slapping people when we start doing that. I'll tell you that right now. If you're a hugger, that's fine, man. We're not all going to be that way. Been in churches like that, too. Instead of shaking hands, it's a hug-a-fest. I don't know. You know, so, I mean, we don't have to get weird in one stream, but, you know, I don't want us to go the other way either. You know, I guess kind of be biblicists. Let's keep our standards. Let's keep our separation. But in doing that, let's not forget our greatest job is to love. And if we're so separated and we're so over here with our standards that we don't do that, I'm just here to tell you, we've missed the bulk of the Word of God. Because the one thing they ought to know about us, if they know nothing else, is this. They love like Jesus Christ. They love like Jesus Christ. I pray that one day when I'm gone, they'll say, you know, Pastor Waterloo, we could talk about his weaknesses a lot, but at least we could say this. He was a pastor that loved people. I can't think of anything else that I'd want someone to say. I mean, really. I mean, if that's not there. Oh, he's a good preacher. Yeah, nice guy. That's nice. But did he love people? I want to ask you this morning, do you love people? Do you love your brother? Sure hard to love the lost, I guess, if you don't love your brother. If not, this would be a good day to make some changes in our life. And realize we're going to judge ourselves. Let's judge it by this book. And this book says that our greatest testimony is our love. Our love. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this reminder, Lord. Lord, I think we get so much farther with our brothers and sisters and with lost people, Lord, if we would just learn to love them like you love them. Love does not mean we accept all the activities they're doing. We don't accept what they're participating in or even agree with it. No, love is showing kindness and patience and long-suffering. Love is even verbalizing our disagreement. And yet still showing kindness and love towards that individual. Lord, you've given us a command, Lord, to love one another. And Lord, as we look at ourselves and examine ourselves, as the Bible often tells us to do, Lord, I pray today as we examine ourselves, we'll look for two things. First of all, do we possess your love? Do we really possess your love? Have we come to a point of truly accepting you as our Savior? And Lord, until we do that, we'll never really know what life is all about. I pray for those sitting here right now, Lord, who do not know you as our Lord and Savior, that, Lord, they would accept the love that you displayed on the cross, because there is no greater love. And they would come and accept your shed blood as payment for their sins. And today, Lord, be welcomed into the family of God. Then us as believers, Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us. With all of our activities and our hustle and our bustle, Lord, and all the things that we try to do in life, Sometimes we forget about the most important, and that is to love you and love others. Lord, help us to be more loving, more kind, more patient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater building. Give us the chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, and thank you again for listening.